Welcome to the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. I am Pastor Jonathan Edwards, but my nickname Jed has been with me for the last 15 years. My goal is to encourage believers to have an orthopraxy as strong as their orthodoxy, that Christ might be honored and glorified through our lives. Welcome to today's episode of the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. It is Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018, and we are going to be continuing our examination of the book Shepherding a Child's Heart, written by Ted Tripp. Today, we are going to begin looking at the topic of examining your parenting goals. When we talk about examining your parenting goals, we are looking at a bird's eye view of what you hope to accomplish as a parent. Now, I think sometimes children can understand what mom and dad want to accomplish better than mom and dad. And the reason for that is parents don't always think long-term about the messages they communicate to their children. But children understand the messages parents communicate, and as children listen to those messages, they understand the goal that mom and dad are working towards. If you're a parent and you're wondering, well, I don't know what my parenting goals are, or I haven't really thought about it in a deep sense or from a bird's eye perspective, ask yourself this question. How would your children respond to this? What mom and dad want most from me is ... And ask your children to fill in the blank. What do mom and dad want most from me? The way your children answer that question will give you great insight into what messages and what goals you are sending to your children. And you may be totally unaware of the messages that you're sending to them. You may think in your mind you're communicating one truth, but the way they're receiving that truth and the way they're implementing it is totally different than what you intended. Now, I think as Christian parents, we have to have a realization that there are both unbiblical and biblical goals that we can encourage our children toward. And as Christians in particular, it is vitally important that we don't emphasize goals which are culturally acceptable above goals which are biblical. Now, how do we do this? How do we emphasize goals that are culturally acceptable above goals that are biblical? Well, one way that we fail in this is when our primary focus is on making our children responsible and polite contributors to society. Let me say that again. We fail when we make our primary focus is on making our children responsible and polite contributors to society. Well, why is this a bad goal? Don't we want our children to be responsible? Don't we want them to be polite? Yes, of course we do. Do we want them to contribute to society in an appropriate and helpful manner? Yes, we do. Well, why is this a bad goal? Well, here's the answer to that. The things that may be acceptable in order to be a member of society in good standing may not be theologically sound. That bears repeating. What may be acceptable in order to be a member of society in good standing may not be theologically sound. And the greatest example of this, living in 2018, is the affirmation of anybody's sexual orientation that they feel like. Our society is pressuring everyone to affirm anyone's sexual orientation or gender orientation according to however that person feels or personally identifies. If you want to be a member of society in bad standing, take a public stance and declare that there's only two genders. There's male and there's female, and this is how God created them from the beginning. If you want to have poor standing in society, proclaim that message as loudly and as boldly as you possibly can. You may be responsible and you may be polite, but society will not consider you to be a good contributor. What may be acceptable in order to be a member of society in good standing is theologically repugnant. It is abhorrent to God. That is not the way that God intended things to be. And therefore, as Christian parents, we must make sure that our parenting goals are true biblical goals, not unbiblical goals. That we don't cave to the pressures of the culture around us, that we don't give in to the thoughts and the whims of people who are not being led by the Word of God, but are being led by their own fears, their own desires, their own idols, which are not God, but idols of their own design made in their own image. Now, some may consider this to be an extreme example, although it is an example of a social issue that is boldly in our faces as Christians. And Christian parents, I think for the most part, at least in fundamental conservative circles, don't have any problem going against the culture when it comes to issues of sexuality and gender. Now, there are certain groups of Christians who are having a very difficult time with that. But in the conservative fundamental church, it doesn't seem as if this is a real problem area of understanding. We agree with what the Bible says about sexuality, and we want to teach our children the truth from God's Word. So while this is a good example, it may not be the most pertinent example to how you cultivate unbiblical goals in your parenting. In his book on Shepherding a Child's Heart, Ted Tripp has some category headings of areas where parents can create unbiblical or biblical goals for their children, and I want to run through some of those for you right now. The first area that he talks about in regards to having an unbiblical goal or a biblical goal is in developing special skills. Now, when we talk about developing special skills, we're talking about skills that would be like sports or music or art or dance, those types of things that require extra training, extra practice, extra effort in order to become proficient in. And there are many Christian parents who adopt an unbiblical perspective on special skills. They look at the special skills, especially sports, as a necessary component for a child to have a well-adjusted and well-rounded childhood. The problem is, when we adopt sports as the special skill to develop in our children, our culture tries to push us into a, you do your sport 365 days a year. There's no off season. There's no other playtime. You have to do the special training regimen. You have to be on a special diet. You have to do all kinds of things in order to excel in your sport. The days of youth sports being for, you know, youths to play. And, you know, there was as much of an emphasis on playing and having fun as there was on winning and doing well and cultivating team building exercises. That balance has gotten thrown way out of whack in our society. And when Christian parents adopt the culture's mentality towards sports, my child needs to do this. They need to be involved in this. This is a way to help them secure their future and to become well-adjusted. Well, the reality is, if your child is doing a sport, one sport, to the exclusion of all other play or interaction with children, they're not going to become well-adjusted. They're going to be maladjusted. They're going to have a skewed perspective on the benefit and the use of sport in their life. Now, what is a biblical perspective of developing special skills? The cultural perspective says you do this special skill because it will get you far in life, and it's the right thing to do, and it's the only way to become well-adjusted. And we understand that the culture has as its motivation the worship of self and the exaltation of self. What is a biblical perspective? Well, a biblical perspective says sports are okay, but sports should not dominate one's life. sports, and other special skills should be developed and cultivated because they can help you become a well-rounded individual. They can help you produce team building and learn to work with other people. But there is a great danger in competition, and there is a great danger in sport or music or dance or cheer or any of these other things, because the temptation is so often to exalt self for one's own accomplishments and abilities. And Christian parents have to be aware of that. So as they encourage their children to develop special skills, there needs to be open lines of communication about what is the relationship of this sport to your overall life? What is the relationship of this activity, this musical endeavor, to your overall life? That's where parents have to have a biblical perspective, a God-honoring perspective, rather than a cultural perspective. Another area where parents fail to have biblical goals is in that they want their children to be psychologically well-adjusted. They're concerned about the psychological well-being of their children. Now, what this ultimately means from an unbiblical perspective, the unbiblical nature of this, is that Christian parents will utilize pop psychology methods of child rearing. You are trying to make sure that your children have proper self-esteem. You're trying to make sure that you're doing the things that the culture says are necessary and relevant for your child to have a well-adjusted psychology. Now, the problem with this is that the Bible says that man's diagnosis of man's problems is incomplete and incompetent. Man cannot accurately assess man's problems, nor can man find solutions to fix man's problems. The biblical perspective on self-esteem and being psychologically well-adjusted is this. Your child, prior to his salvation, if your child is a Christian, your child is a wicked, totally depraved sinner. His heart is deceitful. The intentions of his heart are wicked. Now, he may not be as wicked as he possibly could be, but he's wicked. He is an enemy of God. And what his greatest need is not psychological well-adjustment. His greatest need is a knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to repent from his sins and to, instead of being an enemy of God, become a friend of God. So the biblical perspective of your child is that he has too much self-esteem. He values himself too highly because he doesn't see his need for God in his life. Your child must come to the recognition that he is a sinner who needs the grace of God. And it is only after genuine salvation and genuine belief that the child can actually have a biblical psychology. He will think about himself from a biblical perspective. He will learn what the fruits of the Spirit are and how to practice them in his life. He will learn the value of integrity and character and honesty. He will learn that humility is the greatest virtue for walking in a manner worthy of the God who died for us. This is what your child needs, to be psychologically well-adjusted. And as parents, when we try to adopt the methods of the world or the teachings of the world, when we try to blend those together with biblical truth, you have a little bit of lie mixed in with a little bit of truth. And as Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And so those small lies that you believe as a parent or that you incorporate into your children's life, they have the potential to totally ruin your child, because you have laid a false foundation for how to think about life and how to approach life. Now, the next wrong goal, the next unbiblical goal, might surprise you a little bit, but here it is. It is getting our kids saved. Many parents who are Christians are preoccupied with getting their children saved. Now, how can this be a wrong goal for parenting? Don't we want our children to come to know Jesus just as we do? Of course we do. Well, the first thing that you have to understand is that children, no matter what age they are, to some extent or another, always want to be pleasing to mom and dad. And because they want to please mom and dad, they will learn the things that make mom and dad happy, and they will try to do those things. So if your preoccupation is to get your child saved, your child will pick up on that. And they may make a confession of faith. They may make multiple professions of faith. But the problem for Christian parents is, number one, we never really know whether they are saved or not until they move out of our house and they start living on their own and making their own choices. And then you can see what the fruit of their heart is. You can really see what is down deep inside their heart. Now, I know that may sound strange. You may say, well, my children are saved. They have a profession of faith and they're demonstrating it in our regular family life. And that's true. There are many children who demonstrate fruit of genuine salvation while they are living with their mom and dad. But until they move out on their own and they have no other authority to live under except for their own authority and, of course, God's authority, you will never really understand whether there was a secret rebellion in their heart or not. You will not know whether they asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins just to be pleasing to mom and dad, or whether it was a true and honest and sincere profession of faith. The second reason why this is an unbiblical motivation is that even if your child is genuinely saved, that child's faith in Christ doesn't change the basic issues of parenting. Now think about it. Think about it from your own adult life. When you got saved, did that take away all the issues of sin, all the struggles of sin? Did it make everything immediately better and easier for you? Perhaps in some cases it did. Perhaps in minor areas it did, maybe major areas. But the reality for adult Christians is that our struggle with sin is a daily struggle, and we have to die to self every day. And we have to take up our cross and follow Christ every single day. We have to walk by the Spirit every single day. We have to pray that we would be filled with the Spirit. And so if that's what is going on for adults, to be good followers of Jesus Christ, to be walking according to the Spirit, the same is true for children. Their faith in Christ is not going to make them little angels. Their faith in Christ will enable them to understand God's truth and to be receptive to God's truth and to display God's truth in their life in a way that they couldn't prior to salvation, because they now have the power of the Holy Spirit residing in them. Children who do have a profession of faith and who do evidence that profession of faith in their lives need spiritual nurturing, not just a spiritual shot in the arm. We must remember that just as adults who get saved start out as babes who need milk and soft food from the Word of God, so too our children, even if they grow up in a Christian home, need milk and soft food from the Word of God. Your children need to learn how to cultivate a deep trust in God during the small trials they face as children. They need to understand how to recognize and repent from the idols of the heart. That way, they are serving the true and living God, not serving the idols of the heart. I've talked to many Christians who were unaware of the idols of their heart, and they have been Christians for many years. Our children can get a head start on us. They can learn to grow and develop a more deep relationship with God, because parents, when they have a biblical view of salvation, will bring these truths to bear in the lives of their children They will bring these truths to light and they will talk to them about their children over and over and over again. And we won't forsake the parenting process with a preoccupation for getting our kids saved. Another common problem that parents have, another area where we have unbiblical goals rather than biblical goals, is that we want our children to be well-behaved and well-mannered. Now, we understand that what is well-behaved and what is well-mannered is a very culturally dependent concept. What is well-behaved in the South of the United States may not be well-behaved in another part of the United States. May be considered rude, may be considered too upfront. And the same thing is true all around our country. Different regions have different ideas, different concepts of what it means to be well-behaved and well-mannered. Perhaps if we make this example even more close to home, the people that you attend church with may have a different definition of well-behaved and well-mannered. So your definition of well-behaved may very well be different than somebody else's. And you're teaching your children to be man-fearers rather than God-fearers. Let me say that again. You're teaching your children to be man-fearers rather than God-fearers. You're teaching them to constantly look around themselves and examine the behavior of people around them to determine whether they're behaving correctly or incorrectly. And what the result of this is that your children will elevate their behavior when they're around really excellently behaved people, and they will de-elevate their behavior, or they will condescend to have poor behavior when they are around people who have very poor behavior. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, bad company corrupts good morals. So parents who desire their children to have good behavior and to be well-mannered have an unbiblical goal, if that is the sole purpose of your training. Rather, a biblical perspective on being well-behaved and well-mannered is that children who learn to have the character of Christ, children who learn how to demonstrate outwardly the fruits of the Spirit because it's an inward reality in their lives, these children will be well-behaved and well-mannered. It's a byproduct of the faith and the salvation that resides in them. It is not something that they turn off and on when they're around different groups of people, but it should be consistent, it should be conscientious, meaning that they are purposeful in their character and their behavior and their manners towards other people. It should be something that becomes automatic to them, a part of their makeup and who they are as a person that is unwavering despite social or cultural pressures. That's a biblical perspective. Now, the problem is many of us as adults experience different levels of behavior and good manners when we're around different people. We don't always hold ourselves to a high standard of biblical character and integrity. We should, but we don't. And I think that's where, when you look at your life and you say, how do I teach these things to my children? You have to say, well, I need to stop being a double-minded person myself. I need to eliminate these things in my own life because I see this pattern in my life and I know that I don't want my child to be like this, but I'm like this. Even parents have unbiblical goals for themselves. And so it is a double-edged sword for parents. Not only are you teaching them to your children, but you're practicing them yourself. And that can be very frustrating. Yet, the grace of God is sufficient to help us overcome, to help us change and become transformed, so that we, as Christian parents, might have a biblical goal for our own life and also a biblical goal for the development of our children. Finally, the last example of an area of life where Christians often have a wrong and unbiblical perspective is the issue of control. Do what I say because I said so. And the goal here that we are identifying as unbiblical is to have children who mind the parent and whatever the parent says at that particular moment. Now, it is important to obey. We don't deny that God has said the primary job of children is to obey their parents. We don't deny that at all. But when parents become authoritarian or dictatorial in their implementation of authority, do what I say because I said so, what the parent has done is divorced himself, or in the case of mom, herself, from the chain of God's authority. It's not do what I say because I said so. It's do what I say because I am communicating the truth of God to you. See the difference? If it's do what I say because I said so, mom or dad is the final authority. That is an unbiblical approach to parenting. Your goal cannot be to just have children who mind the parent and whatever the parent's wish is at the moment, because parents are not perfect. We will send mixed messages. Sometimes we have sinful wishes that we want the children to participate in, and we don't want to do that. Rather, the biblical way to think about this is to not unleash or unhook the parent's authority from God's authority, but to rather reinforce it, to teach that all authority comes from God and parents are the representatives of God to their children. We, as the parents, are under a master, and our master has given us an example of how to rule with humility, grace, and mercy. I think if Christian parents adopt that mentality of ruling with humility and grace and mercy, the influence that they have over their children and their exercise of authority will have a far greater weight than if we try to use brute force or brute consequences to manipulate our children to do what we want them to do. Ultimately, as we evaluate these categories where we can either have a biblical goal or an unbiblical goal, Christian parents ought to remember this very important truth. It is the first question of the Westminster Catechism. What is the purpose of man? What is the chief end of man? The answer: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. See, that's the ultimate goal for believers: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Is your parenting style, are your parenting goals bringing glory to God? Are they upholding Him as the creator of the universe and the one to whom all are subject to? Or have you set up some false gods? Have you set up some idols which distract and displace the one true God? In Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, the psalmist writes this: "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Are those words and those truths the guidelines for your parenting? Is that how you see your mission? That my mission is to accomplish God's work and God's will, because there is nothing on earth that I desire more than doing what is pleasing to God. Like Paul, can you say in Philippians chapter 3, where he says, "All things that I have done before, they are counted as loss. I consider them to be rubbish. I forget them. I don't even think about them any longer. But my chief desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, that someday I may attain to it also. And we know that he will attain to it when the resurrection occurs. Paul's chief goal was to forget what lies behind and to press on towards what was ahead, to know Christ Jesus. And as parents, I think that's what we need to do as well. Have we made poor decisions? Have we set up unbiblical goals? We must confess those, repent of them, and press on towards what lies ahead. Go to your children and talk to them. Ask them, honestly, what do you think my goals are? How am I coming across to you? Is what I have taught you consistent with what the Word of God teaches or not? Your children, if they're older, will be able to evaluate it well and hopefully will give you a straight answer. And I think we all know in our hearts whether we've cultivated biblical goals or unbiblical goals. And in our hearts, we must confess to the Lord that which we've done, which is sinful, those idols which we have put in front of Him, those points of emphasis where we have not emphasized God's perspective, but we've emphasized our culture's perspective or our own perspective. May we be diligent and disciplined to do the hard things necessary that will result in true spiritual growth and true change. May God bless you, and may you seek to serve Him foremost in all you do.